news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Bill Riles simply will not leave us be.
Get out of here.
Bill Riles from WKRG News Talk back. He's trying to do a story about the new morning show here, so we'll try to accommodate him as well. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig, and a man with a lot of knowledge on the phone.
Yeah, people were headed to the polls yesterday in a lot of the areas around here. The city of Mobile, not yet time for our elections, but numerous towns around here did vote. And what better time to get John Sharp from AL.com on the line to discuss what happened yesterday. John, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, guys. Thank you. And yeah, you're correct. Just about every city, incorporated community in this area, but Mobile, had an election yesterday.
Yeah, they did. And let's start with, I guess, I don't know if it was surprising to everyone. I've got a friend in Fairhope who thought this might happen, but Sherry Sullivan, who, of course, worked with the city of Fairhope for well over a decade and then got fired about 4 years ago by then Mayor Karen Wilson. She ends up winning without needing a runoff. Tell us about that race a little bit.
By the way, we've got Steve Perry here honoring Sherry Wilson's upset victory there. A little oh Sherry.
I love it.
How big an upset was that, John, to you?
Not a huge upset, largely because if you've been around Fairhope in the last couple of weeks and you look at the amount of signage that has been out, and of course signs don't vote, but if you get kind of anecdotal idea where things might be headed, Sherry Sullivan had a strong presence campaigning in the community in the weeks heading up to the election, and so I wasn't overly surprised. I thought that perhaps incumbent Mayor Wilson could push a runoff, but this wasn't even close. It was pretty resounding at Sherry Sullivan, who is well known in the community. She worked in the city for 17 years, I believe, before she was let go when Mayor Wilson was elected 4 years ago. And I know there's been some frustrations in Fairhope over the relationship between the mayor and the council. It appears the voters took that out on the incumbent mayor yesterday because the incumbent council members all got reelected. So, that's kind of how that was kind of lay of the land there. I wasn't overly surprised at that one.
And John,
I might have been in another community.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that Fairhope thing just one more second before we move on, because you noted it there that there's been some friction between Mayor Karen Wilson and the council and a lot of residents, which isn't rare for a city to have those disagreements. But your feel for this new mayor that'll be coming in, Sherry Sullivan, does it seem like things will be a little more smooth over in Fairhope once she takes office?
Yeah, well, at least amongst the mayor and the relationship with the council, I think it'll be smoother because, some of the incumbent council members were basically running re-election by supporting Sherry Sullivan as mayor. So, yeah, I mean, one would think that there will be some smooth relationships there, smoother, but you still have that faction that supports Mayor Wilson that I'm sure will be very vocal going forward. That'll be very well in tuned in the community. Fairhope is the fastest growing city in Alabama. Any community that has that kind of rapid growth is not going to be kumbaya all the time on municipal issues. So, don't expect a smooth sailing, quiet Fairhope, flowers and trees, and that's it. But I mean, there's going to be some rumbling along the way. I'm sure.
They can't even stay out of the news when they gather together. John Sharp is with AL.com and looking over some of the elections from yesterday.
Yeah, and you said you were surprised by at least one race. What were you surprised about yesterday in these municipals?
I was somewhat surprised in Spanish Ford. Mike McMillan had been mayor for he was pushing for a third term, and he's been fairly popular mayor over the years. There hasn't been anything hugely controversial over there. In the last year, he's gotten himself in a little bit of a personal situation. He was charged with a misdemeanor for an altercation he had with a city employee. And that's really kind of hung a cloud over him for a while. And it makes me wonder if that's the reason why. Of course, maybe the ultimate reason why is low voter turnout in these elections. But, he's being pushed to a runoff. He got less than 46% of the vote yesterday, and even though he had a wide margin of a lead over the second place challenger, he still has to go forward for a runoff, which can be unpredictable, And I'm a little bit surprised by that one. Again, you know, well-known name in the area, an incumbent being pushed into a runoff.
Yeah, so I just Googled it. I had to Google it. Spanish Fort's population is right around 9,000 by last count back in 2018. And McMillan, who had the most votes, but as you noted, he's going into the runoff, he only had 545 votes, and there were only about 1,200 votes cast. Was the turnout that low around the rest of the area? Was it pretty low pretty much everywhere yesterday?
Yeah, pretty much everywhere, including, I live in Daphne. I was a little disappointed in seeing the turnout there. We had an open mayor's race. Fairhope was somewhere around 33-34% turnout, so they had a pretty strong showing. And if you went to the Fairhope Civic Center yesterday, and I shot some pictures, I posted them up there. They're up on AL.com and on Twitter as well, that showing some of the line outside of the Fairhope Civic Center.
Mm-hmm.
So kudos to Fairhope. I think the mayor's race, people were pretty passionate about it. But in other areas, it was kind of shrug your shoulders, just another Tuesday type of thing. But, Daphne was a little disappointed in, we're going to have a runoff there.
Mm-hmm.
Very low turnout. And again, an open mayor's race. So maybe heading into the runoff, there might be, maybe a little bit more passion stirred here on the Eastern Shore.
Maybe a little lack of passion, but also concern about COVID-19 going to the polls? Would that play any role?
Yeah, that could play a little bit of a role, but these municipal elections are notorious for their low voter turnout, mm-hmm. So it's kind of follows suit. I was impressed, everywhere you went, people were wearing masks. There weren't, wasn't this cavalier attitude of throwing the masks off and walking into the voting places. It was basically, people were cautious, and it was impressive to see. One thing, I even saw that outside. Alabama has this 25-foot rule where campaigning can occur.
Yeah,
25 feet, which isn't all that far from the entrance of your voting place, and yeah. So you have a lot of gatherings. It was almost like a tailgate atmosphere.
That's a Steph Curry jump shot.
right. People were wearing masks at most of those events, and that was good to see. It wasn't all that way, but for the most part, people were following the protocol.
Yeah, I think you actually have to stand farther away from the building if you're going to go outside to smoke than you do to campaign for some of these
That's
people that are running. You mentioned Daphne, and I want to hear about a couple of these candidates because that is a tight race right there. 48 votes between city councilperson Robin Lejeune and Steve Carey. Now, what do you know about the city councilman that's in this race?
Yeah, Robin Lejeune's been on the council for a while. He's well-known in the community. He helps run, or he's a co-owner, I believe, of the Market by the Bay Seafood Market.
Mm-hmm.
So he's well-known in Daphne. Steve Carey is a resident of Daphne for several years, and he's also a businessman. He's run a very well-organized and structured campaign. And both of these candidates are good. I mean, I think Daphne can't go wrong with either one of them. It'll just be interesting to see who gets their message out the best and most effective heading into the runoff. There hasn't been much mud slung in this race, so that's something to keep an eye on in the next couple of weeks. Because when you get to a runoff, it's a different story than the regular election.
I only know Steve Carey because he painted my house. So that's his. I mean,
right,
he didn't personally paint my house, John, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about the eastern side of the Bay, and we'll get to Mobile County here in just a minute, but you got some incumbents that ran away with it yesterday. Looks like Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, Bay Minette, they're all sticking with the mayors that brought them to this point.
Yeah, you're correct. I'm not surprised in those communities. Robert Kraft is a presence in Gulf Shores. Tony Kennan is a presence in Orange Beach. And both of them almost... It's almost like they're competing against each other because they both got like 63-65% of the vote in their respective communities. I don't know if they both look at the voting total and say, I beat Robert. I beat Tony. if you're down in Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, you know about that little rivalry down there.
Yep.
So maybe that might be more of the intrigue than the actual opponents they had on the ballot. But, that was one observation I had. A couple of runoffs in the council. Involving incumbents in Gulf Shores, but other than that, nothing huge. The former police chief in Orange Beach, who had actually butted heads with Mayor Kennan in the last week or so, actually quite publicly during a town hall meeting, he got defeated in his race for city council. So I think that's worth noting.
Just to reset things here, John Sharp from AL.com, his observations from local elections yesterday, and also to reset you traffic-wise, I-65 southbound right at the Pritchard exit. There's a terrible wreck that's got everything tied up well north of there, so if you're heading southbound, you're going to be redirected to the service road.
Yeah, things are slow going there. Let's move over here to Mobile County, John, and Bayou LaBattery and Sims each electing new mayors.
Yeah, in Sims, you have a restaurant owner who defeated the incumbent mayor, David Baker, and quite emphatically, I think it's like 64-36% spread. So it's a change in leadership there. Sims is an interesting community. Annexation, as we all know, is an issue there that that city will be dealing with, and in coordination potentially with Mobile. So we'll see where that goes ahead in the future. An interesting observation I had in Pritchard, of course, the results came in late, so I'm still trying to figure this. You had 9 people running for mayor, and the incumbent, Jimmy Gardner, was able to pull out 43% support. I thought that was kind of impressive. I mean, you know, of course, you're talking, again, low turnout, but when you have 9 people running and the mayor is at 43%, the incumbent mayor is at 43%, that's pretty respectable, I think. You realize that when you have 9 people running, you're probably going to get a runoff. And his runoff is against a well-known council member in that community, Lorenzo Martin. So that'll be an interesting matchup heading into October. But I just thought it was worth noting that, you know, had Gardner won that thing outright yesterday, I don't know if you're treading on rare waters, but, I mean, it's very rare when you get 9 people running for something and you walk away during the first election here in Alabama where you have to get over 50% of the vote.
Yeah, he came closer than I thought he would. He came closer to winning it outright on the first day. Pretty impressive.
That's correct. And also in Pritchard, a name that received some national headlines, Shakisha Clemens. She was involved in that incident at the Waffle House in Saraland. Again, it's been in the national news a lot in the last couple of years. She finished 3rd place in her run for council. And the top 2 finishers actually going off to the runoff, so she didn't even place. And I think there was some opinions out there that, you know, perhaps because of her name recognition, she'd win that council seat outright. Well, that, you know, Pritchard voters can be finicky sometimes. They didn't anoint her into the council seat,
right?
And she has to her political career, at least for the moment, is on hold.
Yeah, we were talking about that a little bit yesterday, and whether name recognition would be enough, because it's not often that people outside of Pritchard or Mobile County would have eyes on a city council race in Pritchard. But of course, with Shakisha Clemens being a national name there for that Waffle House run-in back in Saraland a while back, did she do any active campaigning, or did she just kind of throw her name in the hat and have a few news stories written and hope for the best?
I kind of think that might have been the case. Of course, I don't know. You know, I didn't see too much on social media, and of course, I might have missed it. But you're dealing with municipal elections, low turnout. I mean, you know, she got like 100 or 200 votes, 217 votes in a race that, you know, the first place, or she got 121 votes in a race where the first place candidate got 217. So, I mean, you know, such low voter turnout. Basically, you got to get out and bang on the doors. And in the era of coronavirus, that's kind of restricted. So, she can get them all the name recognition nationally as you want. But the bottom line is, in your council district is where you got to win. That's where you got to get your base out and your voters out. And in this case, the Pritchard voters said no to her.
Yes, so much for the old adage, any publicity is good publicity, because she had plenty of publicity, but it wasn't enough to get her elected.
Well, that's been a great roundup, John. We really appreciate your work here and, of course, your eyes on not just the big elections. Of course, we've got one coming up in November, but also the smaller municipal elections, which truly actually affect your day-to-day lives more than most people realize. So we really appreciate you coming on with us today to kind of break this down.
All right, guys, no problem.
John Sharp, AL.com. I've met a new friend on the phone there.
You did.
Appreciate that, Dalton.
We had somebody on the text line ask about Bayou LaBattery, and the winner of that Bayou LaBattery race was, let's see here, it was Henry Barnes, defeated Daryl Elliott Steiner. So there you go.
There's the final. Man, if you're on 65, terrible mess. That's a That's as bad as we've seen in a while on 65 southbound near Pritchard. And, of course, it's already backed up, and they're trying to get you on the service road. And
backed up, too.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen there, too. So, anyway, Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Day 3, doing the best we can. Just learning this stuff as we go. I know we want to talk a lot about the RNC.
We're
midway through it right now.
Yeah, day 2 yesterday, night 2, whatever you want to call it. And there's been a lot of discussion about a lot of the stuff that went on last night. And you know that we'll be talking about it all day as we have 8 live local hours here on FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Poore, he'll be joining us later in the hour. We'll talk a little bit about this and preview what's coming up on his show that begins at 9. And then Sean Sullivan at Midday Mobile starting at noon. So they'll talk about it as well. But there were some big names that took to the stage last night in the RNC. And, of course, First Lady Melania Trump was the headliner yesterday and actually delivered her speech from the White House Rose Garden, which, depending on who you ask, it was either a slap in the face of the country, if you're checking out MSNBC during the election talk, or it was a beautiful presentation if you're checking out Fox News, depending on where you get your news.
Funny how that works.
Yeah, and but she had, in my opinion, she had a really good speech, and she really stressed unity and bringing the country together, kind of a little bit of what we saw from Jill Biden last week during the DNC convention. So at least the wives of the candidates in this election want to bring the country together as Biden and Trump continue to spar. But Melania Trump had a lot to say last night. She said, President Trump loves this country, knows how to get things done.
No matter the amount of negative or false media headlines or attacks from the other side, Donald Trump has not and will not lose focus on you.
And of course, she spoke about her lifetime and how she was an immigrant that came over to America and what that process was like for her. And the president actually made a few appearances during yesterday's production. He issued a pardon. Also, this caused a stir for some reason, held a naturalization ceremony at the White House. And of course, he was there in the Rose Garden before Melania and during Melania's speech last night. But I was checking out MSNBC some yesterday, and they were just livid, Dan, about the naturalization ceremony with Trump in the White House. And they were saying, oh, he made it all about him. I don't think they dragged those people to the White House and said, listen, you're going to stand in front of the camera and you're going to smile and you're going to accept your citizenship. I think they probably may have asked them before, hey, would you like on national TV to become a citizen of the United States and have the president shake your hand?
I would like that.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to become an American citizen, to do it on national TV with the president. But MSNBC, CNN went wild about that yesterday. Another thing they were upset about was Secretary of State Mike Pompeo speaking to the convention. He was over in Jerusalem, so he delivered a pre-recorded video message. One of the things he talked about was the president seeking justice from China as the source of the COVID-19 pandemic.
In China, he's pulled back the curtain on the predatory aggression of the Chinese Communist Party. The president has held China accountable for covering up the China virus and allowing it to spread death and economic destruction in America and around the world.
So that's actually the first time, I believe, that a Secretary of State has appeared for a speech at a convention. And they were pretty upset about that last night. To me, was it necessary to have the Secretary of State on? Did he put the convention over the top? I don't think so. But the law that they keep referencing here, where secretaries of state aren't supposed to do that, I mean, to me, seems kind of like a dumb law in this day and age. You know, Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State for Barack Obama, and she didn't speak at the convention back in 2011, but we all knew where she stood. We know what team these people are on.
Yeah, there's obviously you've got partisan slants on the administration every which way you turn.
Yeah, really. No doubt about that. Also, Eric Trump, Tiffany Trump, and then there's going to be more tonight. Vice President Mike Pence, the main speaker. So we'll talk about that more later.
Kane, and more on traffic. It's a mess on 65 southbound coming up. A lot going on here, man. It's Mobile Mornings, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. Thank you to Bill Riles from WKRG News 5 dropping by to put together a new story about the new transition here at FM Talk, which I'm so happy about.
Yeah, it's Busy break there for a second.
There's a lot going on.
Trying to get back on track here. We will be coming to the phones here in just a minute. 251-343-0106. If you want to join and maybe talk about the RNC night two and what we can expect the rest of the week. And, of course, got that big hurricane that's heading towards the east coast of Texas, western Louisiana, and people evacuating there as that thing could turn into a hurricane category 4 Hurricane Laura. But I want to talk to you some about our buddies over at McConnell Automotive, and they've got some great deals going on. And as you know, if you've ever shopped for a vehicle before, the last week of the month is usually when you can get in and get your best deals. And well, that's where we sit right now. It's the last week of August. So if you're looking for a new vehicle or a used vehicle, and now would be the time to do that. Head on over to McConnell Automotive. And one thing that I really and truly love about McConnell is their website. One of the best dealership websites I've ever visited. It's so responsive. You can pretty much, and I've talked with Louie, I've talked with Mitch McConnell about this in the past, you can pretty much get everything done as far as buying a vehicle online before you even get to the dealership. McConnellAutomotive.com, and there you can check out pictures of every single vehicle they have in stock. You can check out the interior, the exterior, that rotating camera, and they've got their deals listed there too. So I encourage you, in between the storms today, go check them out at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. But do check them out online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
It's another one of those. When the pandemic hit, and I know y'all, I keep going back to March and April, but this thing dragging on the way it is, and the news of it and the concern of it for whatever level you have, car sales have been terrific.
Yeah.
So, like, Louis is living large right now at McConnell Automotive, and so many of my friends in the car business are like, things are going really, really well right now.
Yeah, they really are.
Amazing.
It is amazing. And, you know, I don't know if part of that is stimulus money coming in or people just looking at this as a great opportunity to buy. I mean, you look at the stock market, and that thing just keeps going up and up and up and up. But we do love our buddies over at McConnell Automotive, and if you want to check them out, that would be great. All right, let's. I think, Dan, we can head to the phone lines here. I believe David in Mobile is wanting to talk to us. David, good morning, and what you got for us?
Morning, Dan. Morning, Dalton. I'm loving the new Mobile Morning with the double Ds.
Well, thank you. I'm glad. Believe me, you don't love it more than I do. This is a godsend, this opportunity, and I'm really, really happy to be working with Dalton and Sean every day.
I wonder if that tagline would stick, the double Ds. I don't know if I don't even know if they would publish that in the newspaper.
I'd like to see that billboard.
Well, I think we can take away from the municipal elections, especially on the Eastern Shore last night, is that life is good on the Eastern Shore unless you live in Fairhope, which isn't surprising because Fairhope's full of old people and they're not happy unless they just have drama to worry about.
Well, it's such a nice city. It's so pretty. There's so many great things to check out in Fairhope that you got to get riled up about something.
Yeah, David, you know, when I have people come from out of town, we often go downtown Mobile, but we almost always go to Fairhope and to Point Clear, especially if they haven't been here before, because it's such a unique, beautiful little city, and it's charming, and even in 95 degree weather, it's a nice place to go. But there was a lot of upheaval over there, wasn't there?
Over in Fairhope there was, but y'all were talking with John earlier. He said he was kind of surprised at the low turnout in Daphne and Spanish Fort. And I really wasn't, because I know that Daphne only had 2 contested council races, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, Spanish Fort only had 1 contested council race, which tells me that told me that it was going to be a low turnout, because you had so many council races that didn't have an election, so people weren't motivated to go out and vote, even though you had an open mayor's race in Daphne.
Yeah, even in, and we've seen this statewide, even when there are, races for Congress or for Senate, if the president, if there isn't a presidential election on the ticket, it's tough to get turnout. So I imagine even in these citywide municipal elections, when you've only got 1 or 2 races to vote on and they're not expected to be that competitive, it shouldn't be that crazy that turnout didn't show up.
And what's going to be even sadder is the voter turnout for the runoff in October is going to be even less.
Yeah. So I got to ask you before you jump off the line, David, you've been able to check out any of the RNC, the convention, over the last couple nights?
I haven't watched either one of the conventions because I'm not voting for either the Republicans or the Democrats.
Oh, hot take there from David.
Yeah.
We appreciate you coming on this morning, David.
I'll have a good one.
All right. 251-343-0106.
Was the follow-up question that we missed there, I'm new to this, okay, like political-type interviews and things like that. So was the follow-up question that David was waiting for or we should have gone with was, so who are you voting for?
He might have been waiting for that.
Okay.
But there's only, one more choice as far as I know if you're not voting for the Republican or the Democrat, and that would be the Libertarian candidate. So I would imagine that's where David is going in this case, yep. But who knows? Okay. Who knows?
And, well, I don't know David, so you know David.
I know him better than you do.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't know him well enough to care about who he's voting for. So, but, speaking about these municipal elections, and I thought this was some interesting news, too, and it came out earlier this week. Every time I go to the polls, Dan, and maybe you experience the same thing, you show up, you have your ID ready. This year, you had to have your face mask ready, get your own pen, this new COVID-19, these pandemic rules. Yep. And you get up there after waiting in line 6 feet away from everybody else, and you get up there to register or to sign in to vote, and they break out that 500-page book of voter registrar names, and you get in the line for, okay, for me, I would be in the N through P last names, and say, okay, I'm Orwig, check it out, and then you spend 5 minutes as they slowly turn each page, Orwig, Orwig. That might end up being a thing of the past here in Mobile.
Well, we got to talk about that, but poll volunteers traditionally have been some of our older citizens.
That's right.
I think that's what you're getting at.
That's exactly
what
I was
getting at. Smart aleck. You know that? they're volunteering their time, but it's frustrating for you to get to the ORWIG.
Yeah, I've got to get home, right? So maybe selfish of me.
You've got a baby and a baby on the way, y'all, poll workers.
Yeah, I'm crazy because I don't want to spend 10 hours at the poll place just to cast my vote. But that could be, and I say could be, I'm not sure, but Mobile County, the commission approved these purchases. They're going to have 449 quote-unquote electronic poll books for use, and I think they'll have them ready to go by the November 3rd general election. But what we're going to be dealing with now, instead of those big old paper rolls that they go through to find the voter names when you show up, they've got these tablets now, and you still have to show them your ID when you get there, and then they go through the rolls and try to figure out where your name is. Maybe it'll make things a little easier now that they're using digital tablets. I don't know if they can just search for a name or not, but
I think that's the whole point, right?
That would be the point, to make things easier and go faster. But you just
so Miss Margaret isn't going through all these pages while you stand there frustrated that your baby misses you dearly back
now,
at home.
But the thing I'm worried about with this, and for Miss Margaret, I feel like I'm giving tech advice to older, and I'm not complaining. I love helping out.
You've been giving it to me all morning.
I'm always giving tech advice to older generations.
Hello.
I'm just not sure that these poll workers will be able to. I'm hoping they give them a good training period where they can figure things out, because even with the digital tablets, I don't think they're going to be able to just buzz through the names and figure out where you are that quickly.
Let me break this down. You're hoping that these poll workers are going to be able to handle the new technology, but you're not full of hope.
Right.
You're hoping, but you don't really see that happening, huh?
There could be a couple hiccups, but I think overall good news, electronic poll books, so don't be surprised when you see those come to general election in November.
It is Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, O-R-W-I-G, and came with some traffic problems on I-65, southbound near the Pritchard exit, all that on the way. All righty. It is Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. As we approach the 9 o'clock hour, the Jeff Poor Show, it's 8:50 right now. Speaking of Jeff Poor.
Yeah, he's in studio a full 10 minutes before his show begins. Really 15 after the national news.
To pay you extra, man.
Let me just say this. It is fantastic being in the same studio with two Mobile radio legends.
Well, you become a legend when you've been doing it a long time in the same place. That's all that is. But Dalton is definitely... He's my he's my swimmies here as I'm in the FM Talk 106.5
pool.
Swimmies
or floaties?
Yeah, they floaties, are floaties. You know, he's keeping my head barely above water, but we're having a good time out here.
And I'm not anywhere near a legend, but hey, I'll take whatever, Jeff. I'll take it if you're gonna spread that positivity.
Well, I recall one time I'd done previously my first live radio solo was up in Huntsville, but filling in for Sean one day, and you're having to hold my hand and working me through it and coaching me through it and saying just keep together, Jeff, it's gonna be all right.
We've had 3 days of that so far, so you should have come in 3 hours early. You'd have seen it all.
It's fun. It's still much easier than putting a diaper on my 18-month-old. So I'll take whatever I can get around here.
Yeah, I'm not signing up for that job.
I know, Jeff, you got a big show coming up, and will you touch on the Republican National Convention at all today? Is that something that's in your show notes coming up?
What?
Yeah, so it's this thing they do. They do it every 4 years leading into an election, and they talk about their candidates. And so last week, Democrats, of course, this week, Republicans, and I enjoy every day tuning in to listen to your takes on these conventions. And last night, you know, lots of drama. I took your and Sean's advice from yesterday and tried being the key word here, to watch MSNBC and their coverage of the event. And, you know, it's not rare for me to do that. I like to check out the other responses from other people, even though I knew what to expect from MSNBC, but Rachel Maddow and crew absolutely tearing every bit of the Republican convention apart last night. And the two things they seemed most upset about, three things, really. First was Pompeo bucking the trend and doing his Secretary of State address from
violation of the Hatch Act.
The second was Melania Trump being in the Rose Garden.
Hatch Act!
Not so much her speech, but where she held that speech.
Right.
And then the third, the naturalization ceremony that Trump held.
Which was a little cheesy, but yeah,
it was cheesy, but they were acting like these were hostages that were tied up in the White House and trotted out for this thing on live TV. Don't you think they might have asked them if they'd like to be on TV when they get their citizenship?
By the way, the images that I saw from that, I've got about, in my mind, I've kind of 9 jokes I can't tell on the air from what
I... we are experienced pros at watching these things. I think the goal was to just stick the thumb in the eye of the media. Mm-hmm. Like he has a target in mind when he did that. You're going to have Gloria Borger and Wolf Blitzer on CNN and Jake Tapper talk about how anti-immigrant xenophobic this RNC is, and then let's go back to the RNC, and here they are swearing in immigrants. So you see what he's doing there. And you know, to the untrained eye, that you're not really, you follow politics maybe once every 4 years, get really into it, then it becomes this contradiction. But to us, we're like, yeah, that's some interesting stagecraft.
Yeah, and let's talk about this Pompeo thing a little bit, because
it's been irking you all morning.
It has been irking me. Actually, you know, that's probably a little strong. I really, like David's votes, I really don't care when it comes down to it. I know
you
what
have to drag David back in?
I apologize,
into
David.
The ring?
I apologize. I need to stop going after David because I love when he calls. But Pompeo being on live from Jerusalem, and, you know, this last night, if you're watching the news, this was probably the worst thing to happen in America in 2020, according to a lot of the commentators. But to me, it was unnecessary to have him on. I don't think he's putting the convention over the top. I think they could have done without him if they wanted to. But again, it didn't bother me one way or the other, because even though he's the first Secretary of State to do this and he violated the Hatch Act, seems kind of, in this day and age, like that's kind of a dumb law on its face.
It's a dumb law, but I mean, are you really violating the Hatch Act? And could the Hatch Act... I mean, I get it. You can't be sitting at your desk, you know, at the Social Security Administration, printing out campaign flyers and sending out emails or whatever on behalf of a political candidate. But is that really the violation of the Hatch Act? And does the Hatch Act supersede your First Amendment right to speak out for a political candidate? I don't know. I think this is very, very gray territory. Is it maybe a little on the tacky side? Maybe you want to think of the Secretary of State, the chair, you know, the leading diplomat, the nation's top diplomat, is kind of above the political fray and all that. Yeah. So that's where I think that's maybe where the the problem, the rub is. Is it illegal? Good luck proving that there's some crime committed. Is it maybe a little unsavory? I think, yeah.
By the way, a Gamecock girl on the text lines, for you, Dalton, I think this is directed at you. Watch C-SPAN, and you get only the convention, and you can think for yourself.
Yeah, I've
heard. Going to MSNBC and CNN, like, destroys your soul. I mean, just get those channels out of your package.
They don't destroy my soul. I know what to expect from those channels. I just think it's hilarious because the response is so predictable.
Yeah. And what I hate about C-SPAN is, well, at least my cable provider, I won't mention any names, but it's somewhere across the bay, only standard definition on C-SPAN.
Oh, man.
So we watched C-SPAN, and we had all that because I got a bunch of TVs on in my house, but just to watch the straight feed of the RNC, and it's just the ugly standard definition.
And for C-SPAN, only two times you really need HD, and that's when they're counting votes, so you can read the numbers there, and when Melania Trump is the headliner. You don't want to watch Melania Trump in standard definition.
Although I'm not as crazy about that, what she was wearing. I mean, I'm not like really up on fashion and things like that, but everyone just kind of ranting and raving how awesome that was. That's not really my idea of high fashion.
Yeah, well, she did talk about bringing the country together, which is, you know, what you expect when the First Lady or when Joe Biden was speaking last week. That's kind of predictable as well. But this Rose Garden thing and Trump saying he might accept the nomination in the White House later this week, they kind of broke the seal on that by having her speak in the Rose Garden. You're a political junkie. Are you do you feel affected by the fact that in this virtual, semi-virtual convention that they are breaking this norm?
No. Given the circumstances, what else were they supposed to do? You can't. I mean, you can't please them no matter what. If it had been anywhere else, it would have been COVID. At least here, you have a contained environment, and everybody's safe, I guess.
Okay. You've got your own show coming up 9 o'clock, a little after 9. What's happening today?
So, we got Congressman Gary Palmer going to talk about his interactions with the Postmaster General and the big fight over the post office. He was kind of the star of that whole debacle on Saturday. He represents the area around Birmingham in the United States Congress. I just got Rob Holbert coming up. We're going to talk about last night's municipal elections, so make sure you stay tuned for that.
Should be a good show. And you're in, what, week 5 now?
No, not quite.
Week 4.
Week 4.
I'm looking into the future. But the great thing here, Dan Brennan and Jeff Poore in studio and FM Talk 106.5 bringing 8 hours of live local talk every day.
Yeah, I'm on day 3 and this close to resigning. It's 8:58. I've been swimming in deep waters today, but I think we got through it. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. And Jeff Poore is next on FM Talk 106.5. We will talk tomorrow beginning at 6:00.